from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Kick by Bass is up. It is good.
I thought T-Bass getting T-Bass two kicks, one going each direction. He made them both. That's a positive.
Mike Danger.
They are a joke. They are an absolute joke.
Gene Battaglia.
This is where I slam on the brakes. Whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Every game is something that we want to win, and today we didn't do that. Lots to learn from. Again, it's preseason. I know we're not game planning for these games, but we gotta be ready to go.
Our standard was not out there today. That's not how we play. There's a lot that we need to do to get ourselves ready to go here.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You know, we can spend a lot of time talking about whether or not the Bills have the same amount of talent on their roster as they had last year. We can talk about all of the off-season moves that they made, right or wrong. If there's one thing you as a Bills fan should take solace in, it's the fact that you are still, no matter how hard you might try, you're still not the New York Jets.
This story from today, and why is this all of a sudden blowing up today? Like, I would think, this is back in March, okay? Hassan Reddick, great pass rusher for Philadelphia. He and Myles Garrett, by the way, Danger, the only two guys, last 4 years, at least 10 sacks in each of the last 4 years. Premier pass rusher in this league. He wants a new contract. Philadelphia decides, no, we really can't afford that. And I would think that they shop Hassan Reddick around. And the Jets trade for Hassan Reddick. Philadelphia only gets a third-round pick. Except, why? All of a sudden now he's going to go play for the Jets and he doesn't want a new contract? The Jets never gave him the new contract. So here we are from March to today, August 12th, that officially Hassan Reddick asking the Jets for a trade.
Yeah.
To which GM Joe Douglas has the PR department put out a statement saying, we've been clear all along with Hassan, we are not going to trade him.
Oh. Have you been clear with him that you're not going to pay him as well? Because I think that's really all that's holding this up. Can we get the guy on the field? Can we get him a new contract? Or is that, no, we're just not going to do that? Like, the contract is the contract. We're going to throw everything else. I mean, that's been the general assumption of any team that trades for a player who's looking for a new deal. You will give him the new deal.
That's why Brandon Ayuk is still kind of in this land
right.
of limbo, because nobody is willing to trade for him. Most teams wouldn't take this on, keeping their fingers crossed. Well, when he gets here, he's really going to like it. No! You got to negotiate this up front. If the Jets back in March had just said, okay, we'd like to do this, but can we talk to Hassan's representation? You know what? Philadelphia Eagles would have said, yes, go right ahead. We give you permission. Yeah, no, I don't think. Then you don't make the trade.
Right. If it's too rich for your blood, then you're out. Right. The Ayuk thing is fascinating on many levels. The idea that, you know, there probably were teams that had the framework for a deal that San Francisco was ready to accept, but Ayuk not wanting to play in New England.
If I'm assessing the blame here, I mean, the blame on the Reddick thing, it's the Jets, okay? Yes. Clearly the Jets. The Ayuk thing, I think it's Ayuk's agent.
Agent. Yep. Bad representation. Well, we'll keep monitoring those two situations. They're kind of a mess, both of them. And I think with the case of the Niners, they're tight. You know Shanahan doesn't like this. It's a distraction. We don't need any of this. If you don't want to be here, get out of here. If you don't want, you know, if you can't swallow your pride and work for what we're offering and you think you can get more somewhere else, good luck. Good luck out there. And with the Reddick thing, it's just insane. The Jets are still the Jets.
Still the Jets.
All the Aaron Rodgers propaganda.
No. Read the book, Danger.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, there's a book coming out. Yes.
There's a book coming out, and he's making amends with mom and dad. And boy, that's a real stand-up guy. He's blaming it on the ex-girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Olivia Munn.
Oh, really?
For making risque jokes or whatever. Yeah. Like, I know too much about this already.
Well, I've been saying for the better part of this offseason that I haven't been a real big fan of many of the moves that have been made by the Buffalo Bills. And I get it. You're trying to be younger. But you look at the roster, and there's less talent on this roster. And there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope that X player will step up into this new role, or X draft pick will slide in, and we won't miss a beat. You know what? They hopefully will find their footing here over the course of the season. But my favorite move of the offseason, Gino, and I think you remember me saying this, mm-hmm. My favorite move of the offseason was actually the one element of Saturday's preseason opener that went well for the Bills, bringing in officiating liaison John Perry in McDermott's ear. He goes 2-for-2 on challenges on Saturday, which was an area that he obviously needed to improve on. It would appear that the Bills will never lose a challenge again as long as John Perry is up there acting as the officiating liaison to Sean McDermott.
How much is John Perry making for this? Is it more than he was making as an official?
Had to have been.
How is the NFL kind of allowing this? There's tampering rules. The Bills can't go talk to a member of the Jets or anybody. That's called tampering. But what if, like, you're another team here. You're like, hey, you know, next year, Cleet, next year, you want to come over here and join the Giants here? Because we really could use somebody. Like, you're setting them up maybe to get softer calls?
Yeah, it's a full-time job. Versus a part-time job. Now, most of these officials are lawyers or whatever they are in their real life, so money probably isn't the thing that they do it for.
But I've heard this, that the NFL pension is actually pretty good. You got to get the 3 years in, and you're in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be a better deal for John Perry.
Well, for John Perry, bravo. If there was a bright spot, and nobody cares when I'm right, but I thought, you know what? The move that they made this offseason that actually made sense and that we'll see improvement on immediately is bringing in John Perry to help with the officiating.
Well, McDermott, like most, you know, alpha males, can be stubborn about some things, but you got to give him credit on this. Recognizing what was a weakness.
Yes.
What was a weakness?
It makes all the sense in the world. And I honestly think that this is going to improve how he does with challenges. He's been terrible with challenges throughout his entire coaching career. He's just been so wildly off. You need somebody like this saying, no, coach, we got one here. And both of those challenges, upon further review, they're incomplete passes. Good, you got it right. They got it wrong on the field, you got it right in the booth. And you challenged at the right time. And I want to say that if you get one of those challenges right,
you get a third
now, which is another reason why, if you're Sean McDermott, having John Perry in your ear is going to help you this year.
ESPN reporting there has been discussion in Major League Baseball about taking off a few weeks in 2028 around the Olympics, allowing players to play for their home country. Jeff Passan pushing this narrative would make it a shorter season. The report from Buster Olney says that the owners would want to have the Players Association give back some revenue to make this happen. There will be roughly 2 weeks of lost gate revenue and certainly less games and your TV partners. danger. I'm trying to read this story with a straight face.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, it would be better to have Major League Baseball spotlight their sport. But if the clumsy NHL won't bother with the IOC, okay, this is nothing more than recency bias here, ESPN. We're talking about less money in the NHL compared to baseball than they would lose. Why would baseball owners even bother with this? Oh, by the way, the next World Baseball Classic, the one they created to kind of be like this, it's in 2026. Why would you give money to the IOC when you can keep it all yourself?
So this is nothing. And I, you know, I kind of forgot that baseball isn't an Olympic sport.
It will be in 2028.
Right.
Though. Yeah.
And I think it'll be fine if the pros sit it out. I think it'll be fine if Major League Baseball continues simultaneously. I mean, it's not great for the game. You want to obviously see the game grow, and it would be a lot of fun to see. But we'll be fine.
Yeah, the thought here is, like, the Olympics, when they come around again, they're going to be in July. It's almost like NBC said, you know, once camp opens, we really need the NFL. It wraps up the last weekend in July.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, okay, I actually kind of like that better. And it's in California. I mean, I'll have to deal with July humidity and heat and everything.
Yeah. I think that'll be a lot of fun. I'm going to miss the Olympics. I'll tell you that.
I was late to the party.
Every night I was watching something. I mean, to watch the 4x100 or the 4x400 relays, I'm like, this is magnificent. This is unbelievable drama. It's just high level execution. These athletes are obviously world class. I mean, it's so much fun to watch. I was really into it. Really got into it this year.
You did not, because you were driving back, get to see the United States and Steph Curry.
Oh, I watched the highlights. And,
oh, my gosh. The dagger of daggers.
Yeah, what he did was just, he should be arrested. It was just an assassination. It was absolute, he was an absolute killer out there. An absolute killer. And I loved it. And what did LeBron say that this team is called? They're the Avengers?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you kind of are the Avengers. Just show up and to swat away everything that came in your direction. I mean, it was a lot of fun. They didn't dominate the way I think you wanted them to dominate, but man, to see Curry hit the shots that he was hitting, and I don't know if you caught the French play-by-play clip that was floating around.
Yeah.
The disbelief that they had in their voices that, oh no, he's done it again. He's an assassin, an absolute assassin. That was a lot of fun in the game. Yesterday was a lot of fun as well. I know a lot of hot takesmen were probably like sharpening up their tongue, ready to just pounce all over Team USA if the women's team failed to beat France. But they get over and they get the gold as well. So overall, I just think it was a fun summer games for Team USA and for all of us.
For all of us. And in this day and age where you get the social media and everything, we had a nice balance of, hey, look at this excellence, and hey, here is this athlete. She's a break dancer from Australia,
right,
and she's having a good time.
I was waiting for, I'll be waiting for in 2028, I'll be waiting for Ozone and Kelly, you know, Beat Street or Break Into, Electric Boogaloo. When is Spit going to show up and spray some graffiti on the side of a train? I'm waiting for that. That's the breakdancing I know and love. Not the thing that keeps popping up in my feed, the Australian breakdancer.
No.
That, I don't know what that is.
That's flopping around like a fish.
That doesn't feel like breakdancing. I'll expect that competition to heat up a little bit when it hits L.A. in 4 years.
I'm going with a primo game here for week one.
Let's go.
I mean, look, I come down on the side that Friday nights should be reserved for high schools, Friday night lights, everything. But those days are over, folks. Yeah, too much money to be made. And how did the NFL get around this? By exporting the game. It's illegal to have it in the United States by that old rule. But hey, this isn't here. It's in Brazil. Philadelphia and Green Bay in Brazil. Friday night, September the 6th. And the Eagles are favored by 1.5.
All right.
Great game, right? Yeah, and you could see this going either way, right? Well, let's examine some numbers, including the playoffs last year. The Packers against the spread were 11-8. Remember, they started off slow. That's not bad. The Eagles, as you might expect, below 500 against the spread, 7-9-2. So why would I point to Philly here? It's very simple. They're the team with the pressure on them. They have to have this game. Can you imagine what Philadelphia sports talk would be like if they come out and flop week one? Kellen Moore is the perfect buffer for this team. I think they get off on the right foot, take the Eagles, and lay the point and a half.
I think there's so much talent on that team. There's just so much talent on that team, both sides of the ball. I mean, you essentially have the University of Georgia playing defense for you, and the weapons you have on offense, I think, are just, when they're clicking, they're just, and now Saquon, Sharquan Sharkley is in the waters of Brazil. Yeah, I like the Eagles on a point and a half as well. Go ahead and scratch me down for that one, Gino.
We only disagree on one. So we picked so far. You and I both like Indy plus the 1.5 against Houston.
I do.
Home underdog, divisional game.
And I'll also say in the same breath, this isn't a week one game, but when the Texans play the Bills, I think the Texans are going to absolutely mop the floor with the Bills.
It feels that way, doesn't it? Yeah.
It feels like Diggs is going to – it feels like they'll rally around Diggs. It feels like that's the game that the Bills will just look uncharacteristically bad.
Well, maybe. Like, if they all of a sudden start force-feeding Diggs, I want to see that chess match.
It's in Houston. You know,
I'm worried about the safeties, Danger. I'm worried about the safeties. I know.
It's fair.
Yes, DeMar Hamlin, great story. DeMar Hamlin really has never been a starter in this league. Yes, he started at the end of that year.
Never forget the arrogance of Sean McDermott. Never forget the arrogance of this guy. This guy is so enamored with football players and the mentality and the right attitude and the hard work. And the one thing that he keeps forgetting to mention is the talent, the actual freaking talent. Because without that, you have a great group of guys that all love each other and all play for each other that can't get off the field because they're not talented enough to do it.
We were the only show that said, hey, all this Tyrell Shavers love, blah, blah, blah. Like, stop. Stop.
Right.
Stop.
Right.
Now, don't take coach at face value how he's there and he's consistent. I look up the dictionary, he's consistent. There's Tyrell Shavers.
And that's all fine. It's all, you're okay, great. You like that guy. You like that player. But you know what? He's not as talented as what you had last season in 14. Or 13, for that matter.
The conclusion I can make on the wide receiver position going on with that, none of these guys are sticking for me, Danger. I think, like, you look at the waiver wire when everybody last cut down, if there's somebody you think is better than whatever you would keep as your number five, whether that's MVS or Hamler or Shaver.
It's ugly. It's ugly. So, yeah, when we get to week five, I've already in my mind, I'm just like, oh, God, that's going to be bad. That's gonna hurt. That one's going to hurt because I just think Houston's going to take it personally. They're going to mop the floor of the Bills.
That whole stretch could be brutal because you got the Baltimore game right before that, and then you get the Jets on Monday Night Football, and you lost a freaking Zach Wilson last year.
Yeah. If it goes badly, what are the excuses? Are we saying it's the dead cap? Are we saying it's all the dead cap that's hard? Because it is. You're trying to build a roster with one arm tied behind your back. You can't spend the kind of money you want to spend on the talent that might be available to you. You don't have all of the talent that other teams are going to have.
Just look, you don't have to compare yourself to Kansas City, not at this point, or Baltimore or Houston. You compare yourself to the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Patriots, and you punch your ticket that way. Very simple. You're not going to be the number one overall seed. Can we agree on that? Yes. Everybody nod your head. Yeah. No, this Bills team is not good enough to get the and then host throughout the AFC playoffs, okay, the way they're constructed now. But are they good enough to win the division, host the first game, and then we'll see where it goes from there? The answer is yes.
Well, let's get more on Saturday's disappointing outcome at Highmark Stadium from Ryan Talbot, who covers the team for NewYorkUpstate.com. There's a lot of notes to get to, and I know you'll mention it in your sports update. We do have a bit of Bills breaking news from this afternoon.
Ow! 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 It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
Now, Shane Buechel has a neck injury. It's going to keep him out the rest of the preseason. Bills need themselves a quarterback. Josh Allen was the only healthy quarterback at practice today. Mitch Trubisky, excuse for personal reasons. I shouldn't say he wasn't healthy. So they brought in Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci.
Of course they brought in Ben DiNucci. Because he's Italian, Gino.
Oh, why did you make this move this late? He should have been in Rochester. We could have taken him to some fine establishment.
Yeah. There's plenty of great Italian. We take him over to Rocky's over here on J Street. We take him to any old school Italian restaurant. We let him just go to town. Benvenucci.
Take him to Agatina's.
Hey.
Buffalo.
Hey, Agatina's on Buffalo Road. Benvenucci, Agatina's. Benvenucci, Picoelli. Picoelli, Benvenucci. Of course they signed him because he's Italian.
Can you imagine, like, they're... Okay. All right. Brandon Bean's office. Sean, thanks for coming in. Pete Quelli, thanks for coming in. Oh, my gosh. We need to sign a quarterback. Anybody have any? Pete, who do you want? Yeah, let's get Ben DiNucci here.
Hey, Ben DiNucci, Pete Quelli. Pete Quelli, Ben DiNucci, Ben DiNucci. Matt Parrino, Matt Parrino, Ben DiNucci. Ben DiNucci, Pete Quelli. Everybody happy? We're all Italian.
Motherfucker.
Ryan Talbot next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
In need of a third quarterback, the Buffalo Bills are signing former Dallas Cowboy and Denver Bronco Ben DiNucci. This according to DiNucci's agent. Shane Bouchel is out with a neck injury today. Mitchell Trubisky excused from practice for personal reasons. Not only Josh Allen is the only healthy quarterback. Head coach Sean McDermott on keeping out Von Miller and Matt Milano.
Is this part of the plan with Matt and Von to just not have them go and then potentially later or any types of setbacks or anything like that?
Yeah, medically for Matt, it's still part of the plan from the medical staff. And then Von, it's more, you know, just managing his reps in the preseason. And we'll see how he goes and we go then moving forward week to week with it.
Bills travel to Pittsburgh on Wednesday. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us next. Rochester Red Wings back home tomorrow night, taking on Syracuse. Gene Battaglia, The Fan Rochester.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
All right, so much to unpack from Saturday's preseason opener against the Bears at Highmark Stadium. We welcome in Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. And not a lot of positives, a handful of positives, and news coming today that we'll see Ben DiNucci wearing Bills colors
Talking with Ryan before, in addition to being Italian, Ryan brings up a good point. Ryan, thanks for your time here today. It's actually another connection here, another reason why.
There always is.
There always is. Ryan, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Yeah, and that reason why I think Ben DiNucci made a lot of sense for the Bills was he spent the entire offseason on Denver's practice squad in 2023, the entire season, last year. And Sean Payton was obviously the head coach of the Denver Broncos. That is Joe Brady's mentor. They worked together multiple years in New Orleans, obviously, when Payton was at the helm there. And, you know, Brady's offense is very similar to that of Payton. So I think in terms of the terminology, the comfort level of getting a quarterback that's going to play significant reps in those last two preseason games, it made a lot of sense to find a guy that was going to know a lot of Joe Brady's system already without necessarily working under Brady before or playing with him before.
Well, some of us are a little upset that it was Ben DiNucci and not Nathan Peterman. We know he's out there as well. I'm only teasing. Ryan, have we seen the last of Josh Allen this preseason? What are your thoughts on him and his availability here week two and week three? Do you think they'll put him out there at all?
Yeah, you know, Allen seemed after the game like he was planning on playing against Pittsburgh. If he were, I think it'd be another very short amount of time on the field. I can't imagine him playing much longer than definitely not another quarter. I think it'd be even a half quarter at this point. You're just kind of risking it right now, especially when you've already seen, you know, Shane Bouchel suffer this injury. You saw how the offensive line fared without game planning. They were a bit of a disaster in that game on Saturday. So don't put your quarterback at risk in a meaningless game when you know what you have in him. I know there are certain teams that do it. Patrick Mahomes generally plays throughout the preseason. We know the results there. But there is no true correct method in terms of playing your quarterback.
Ryan, you were in the press box on Saturday. What was the reaction? What was the feedback? Because we're all watching this like, wait a second, Josh Allen takes off, slides, mind you, but I don't think you want your quarterback running in the preseason. Was that Sean McDermott saying, okay, we don't need to see the rest of this drive. We've had enough here today.
Yeah, you could definitely see Josh Allen like pleading his case before he was pulled on the field. Saying, you know, he wants to finish this drive, but you kind of have to side with McDermott on that one. If you're scrambling, taking off, and sliding, which Allen hasn't necessarily mastered a great slide to this point, you're putting yourself at risk. He did his job. He showed a good connection with Khalil Shakir, got the ball off to Curtis Samuel a few times, did enough, I think, where Sean McDermott felt very good about what he saw. You know, McDermott after the games, something about the look in Josh Allen's eye. You could tell that he was ready to play in that one, and that's one of the other reasons that he didn't see anything else from him. But I think at the end of the day, you want to protect your franchise quarterback, and that may have been enough right there.
Can we get that eye of the tiger with the Bills' offensive backfield? Because the run game was putrid, 3 yards per carry, and if you eliminate the quarterback runs, it was actually just under 1.9 yards per carry. Was that on the Bills' offense not up to the task, or did Eric Washington have a little bit of something special planned for the Bills as a new defensive coordinator there for the Bears?
It might have been a little bit of the latter. I mean, you saw the Bears running some stunts on plays where the Bills kind of came out post game and said, you know, we installed like 3 or 4 run plays. We weren't game planning for anything. And unfortunately, it showed in that matchup the way that the O-line could not open up any kind of holes for Ray Davis, James Cook, and company. And, you know, some of that falls on running back position because in this game, you do have to create some yards yourself at times.
Did we lose Ryan?
I think so. I'm showing he's still on there. Okay, we'll try to get him back here, Danger.
Okay. Yeah, plenty to get to when we have Ryan Talbot join us. Beside the run game, want to make sure we talk a little bit about the wide receiver competition, which we saw throughout the course of the training camp here in Rochester. What the future with MVS might look like. What about KJ Hamler, who muffed the kickoff in Saturday's preseason loss? So plenty to kind of dissect here from that loss on Saturday to hopefully get some answers as to what this team might look like here come week one against the Cardinals. We were talking about that run game, Ryan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. I don't know when I cut off there. It says I'm still on the line, so that was weird. But I just feel like the backs, there were no running lanes for them. You know, the tackles, Deion Dawkins, as great as he is, Spencer Brown, as good as he was last year, they both struggled in that matchup. There was no push on the interior from Osiris Torrance, from Connor McGovern and company. So, you know, when you look back at it, yeah, the backs need to create some yards on their own, but realistically, the O-line did them no favors at all.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest here in the sports bar. Ryan, as far as the wide receiver position, I mean, when we were at Fisher, this was all, shouldn't say all, but it was a main topic, right? The back end here. Have any of these guys made a name for themselves? Can we say that a few guys have already played themselves off the roster? Because I don't know if anybody stepped up coming out of that Bears game.
Yeah, a lot of the guys fighting for those roster spots certainly didn't help their case. You have MVS, who one target, one drop. That's kind of the story of his career with the drop issues. I know Sean McDermott gave a very passionate response about him today about, you know, the limited time. He's still learning it, so he hasn't been as fast as what we're used to seeing. He has a good rapport with Josh Allen, so that and some guaranteed money to boot. So that probably helps him in terms of making this roster. KJ Hamler had a golden opportunity to make an impression, being listed as that top return guy. But in the receiving game, he had a bad drop. He had hands on it. He got to catch that ball. He had a muffed punt at one point. He did have one nice return, though, that deserves some credit for. But no one really stepped up on that back end. I thought Tyrell Shavers did a fine job, but didn't do anything necessarily to cement a job for himself either. So very quiet day for the receivers. I think part of that, though, had to do with Mitch Trubisky. He, you know, it's Mitch Trubisky. You know what you're getting at this point. He holds the ball too long. After the initial reads are gone, he just drops it off to short. And you can dink and dunk your way up and down the field sometimes, but a lot of the times those drives stall. And then, you know, Shane Buechele, kudos to him for gutting it out in terms of whenever he suffered that back injury. But he took six sacks, and some of those were on him, holding the ball or running out of the pocket too quickly, trying to do something. Maybe he had a little case of the happy feet. None of the quarterbacks after Josh Allen exited the game did much of note either.
Ryan, I want to go back to the special teams and the new kickoff rule. You mentioned Hamler with the muff on the kickoff. We saw Daquan Hardy as well. The guy that we haven't seen has been injured through the end of training camp here, and we will get to see him because he returned to the practice field today, and it's Ty Johnson. Do you think that we see Ty Johnson maybe returning some kicks or some punts for the Buffalo Bills? And was he the guy all along that maybe they wanted back there?
You know, I thought it was always going to be Hardy personally, but Hardy struggled a little bit with that Buffalo win. You saw that he kind of caught it up at his shoulder as he was backtracking on the ball on his lone return. But Ty Johnson was always going to be in the mix because Hamler was, from the wide receiver perspective, a long shot to make this team. So Ty Johnson has the return ability. I don't want to say that he has lost his job as running back number two, but Ray Davis has made a case to take over that job. So now if you want that game day jersey, if you want the Bills to carry three active running backs, Johnson's, you know, main role can be return man, and then you can mix him in here and there on the offense, give him a few snaps. He showed what he could do last year offensively, but I think he could give a boost to the special teams unit as well.
Ryan, I know you and Matt talked about this last week a little bit on the Shout podcast, but going into that game, staying with the special teams, what was your level of concern with Tyler Bass? And coming out of this game, you know, what are your thoughts on Bass right now?
You know, in terms of the field goal kicks, they were both pretty pure, the 24 and the 49 yarders, so that was good. I'm not sure that on the kickoffs he was doing what the team had, you know, was hoping for. It felt like he was just booting it too long. He wasn't giving the returners an option. You would think you'd want to see how your return team would handle some kick returns in live game action, so that left a little bit to be desired there. But in terms of his kicking on field goal attempts, I thought he did a nice job. The kickoffs were another matter. Same with the punting with Sam Martin. Starts out with a booming punt that gets down inside the five, but then he shanks the next one, gives up some line drive kicks that allow for some decent returns. The special teams unit was kind of right there with the rest of the team in terms of a few bright moments, but a lot of bad as well.
Ryan, if there was a major positive to take away from Saturday's game, and I've been pretty critical of the Bills throughout the course of the offseason. I don't like a lot of the moves that they've made. I don't think a lot of fans like some of the moves that they made. But there was one move that they made this offseason. When they made it, I'm like, huh, that's innovative. That's different. I don't hear other teams doing that. And that's actually an area where they need to improve, and they will improve because John Perry is up in the booth and in Sean McDermott's ear. They go 2-for-2 on challenges, Ryan.
Yeah, that was not a strength of Sean McDermott's going into this season. So I thought the addition of Perry would help drastically. And you already saw it in the first preseason game. Challenges are not commonplace in the preseason. A lot of the times coaches keep them in their pocket. But I think it's good that Perry and anyone else up there that was watching those plays, they said, hey, let's challenge this. Let's get it some live reps. And sure enough, what they saw up above was correct. And McDermott goes 2-for-2. That, like I said, that's been one of the weaknesses of McDermott. He's challenged some baffling things in the past that, you know, you watch and you say, I don't think there's any chance of this being overturned. He had a very low win percentage in those. So Perry comes in and all of a sudden that, you know, they're batting 1,000, so to speak. So great start for Perry and this challenge crew.
Yeah, we're a little more than 2 weeks away from the final cutdowns, Ryan. I don't think it's too soon to start figuring out how this 53-man roster looks. And if we're going through the exercise, I'll ask you the question, what's the toughest one in your mind? I'm going to give you one that I can't figure out one way or another. What do they do with the third tight end? If they're going to run more 12 personnel, which we think they are, you're going to have a tight end that's going to contribute. And Morris nearly had a touchdown, should have had a touchdown had Trubisky hit him, but Davidson kind of having a good camp so far. They don't keep four tight ends, do they?
I struggle to see how they would be able to do that. It's just so difficult. And I've heard theories of, well, you could cut it other places because you could technically use Curtis Samuel as a running back on your depth chart, but then you'd get rid of Ty Johnson and that creates a hole at the kick return punt returner game. Some people I've talked to said, well, what about Reggie Gilliam? Even if they don't use the fullback as much, which I'm not saying that they won't, he's still a core special teams member. So you kind of juggle all these things. I don't see any scenario where they can keep four. And then, like you said, this leads to that very difficult discussion because I think Zach Davidson has a higher ceiling as a pure tight end, a pass-catching weapon. And we know that Dawson Knox has missed some time in his career. You're one injury away from needing another tight end to step up in those two tight end sets. And I think Davidson would provide more for you there. But it might come down to special teams. And again, Morris is just like Reggie Gilliam and some of these other guys. He's a core special teams player. So, you know, I don't want to sit there and be in Brandon Bean's shoes at that moment, because if I'm going upside at the position, I'm going Davidson. If I'm going with overall, I might have to go with Quentin Morris. So these are the reasons why, you know, these GMs get paid the money that they do and have to make the tough calls.
Ryan, was there a player that stood out to you on Saturday, specifically, you know, one of the guys that we saw for more than just the starters reps? I look at a player like Dwayne Carter, who has been impressive throughout camp, and I didn't really see anything different, but that feels like he's going to be a guy that's a part of that rotation, that four-man defensive tackle rotation, when you think about how he came in for Ed Oliver after the first play of the game.
Yeah, so a few guys that stood out to me on offense, Cedric Van Pran Granger, he had the highest marks from Pro Football Focus. I went back and watched his sets, great snaps at the center position, did a nice job run blocking, nice job in pass protection, good audition for him. I thought Javon Solomon showed himself very well as a run defender. Everyone, you know, has been talking about him being that situational pass rusher. he held his own as a, you know, run stopper in that first preseason game. So I thought that was encouraging. And no, the last two that I'll mention are both cornerbacks. I thought Kyer Elam played a very good game for the Bills, picking up where he's left off at training camp, as did Jamarcus Ingram. Ingram has a little bit of nasty to his game in terms of that right at the line kind of jamming receivers. You saw it against the Bears and threw a guy off the route entirely. He's been doing that at camp. He did it to Keon Coleman at one practice and knocked him down or knocked him back a little bit. So that's kind of part of Ingram's game. Ingram has really stepped up as well as one of those depth options at cornerback, where about a month and a half or so ago, I probably would have said that the depth of that position was one of my biggest concerns.
Yeah. Is there any particular area, Ryan, where you think it's deep enough right now that if the Bills were to be, we've seen Brandon Bean do this over the years, like, okay, we're going to make a trade here, whether that's for a draft pick, or I'm thinking maybe there's a wide receiver you want to go trade for, or certainly a safety right now. Do you believe right now that the offensive line, say, for instance, is deep enough that if there's a team that needs some help, I don't think you're moving Van Pran Granger. I don't think you would want to, but are there any candidates on this roster in your opinion?
Yeah, I think on the offensive line, like you noted, I mean, I actually have come away very impressed this summer with Will Clapp. I kind of had him as someone that I didn't think was going to make this roster. He's been a pretty solid addition on the second team, but how much are you going to count on this guy for in terms of where you're going to play him? Because you already have some youth along the depth there, and Alec Anderson, who can play all the interior spots. You obviously have Vandermark, who can play the tackle spots. Van Pran Granger's coming on strong there. So I could see there being a market for a late-round pick for a guy like Will Clapp that can help in terms of depth charts. You know, Lyle Collins has not played well in Buffalo, but maybe you could convince a team that his experience, his reps could be valuable to their locker room. He's another guy. So I think they have enough youth and talent on that offensive line that maybe they could part ways with a veteran there.
And I know just because people will hear it and see it, and maybe by this time next week we're having this conversation again, should the Bills be looking for something more at backup quarterback than Ben DiNucci and Mitchell Trubisky?
You know, my opinion on this position has been, if Josh Allen goes down, the season's over no matter who's coming in. I don't care if it's Ryan Tannehill, who's probably the best free agent available on the market. There are going to be some guys that have some starting experience in this league that are going to get cut in the next few weeks, like a Bailey Zappi. He's a young guy. You could bring him in, but he's more of a QB3 in my opinion. I think that the Bills have hitched their wagon to Mitch Trubisky. They signed him to a 2-year deal. They raved about him after his last stint. I think in terms of the backup position, without breaking the bank, he's about as good as you're going to get. But other than those, you know, those nice Nick Foles miracle type stories, you don't usually see the backups come in and carry a team or help a team go far. I think if anything were to happen to Josh Allen, the writing's on the wall for this team.
Yeah, I don't even want to ask that question, Ryan, because then I'd be accused of jinxing it here. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, always doing a great job with Matt Perino on the Shout podcast. What is coming up on the website? When does the next Shout podcast drop, Ryan?
Yeah, we have a few articles already up on the DiNucci signing. We will have a podcast later today about what happened at practice, a little bit on the DiNucci signing as well. And then we'll have you covered all weekend as well, as we're both making the trip to Pittsburgh for the joint practice and the preseason game on Saturday night. So, you know, we'll keep the Bills fans well covered going into this weekend.
Ryan, thanks for making that connection for us between Ben DiNucci, Sean Payton, and Joe Brady. Very valuable, and it keeps the streak alive in the NFL. It's not necessarily what you know, but it's who you know, and those relationships matter, not just in the NFL, but in life. So we look forward to seeing plenty of Ben DiNucci and your coverage of it through the rest of the preseason.
Hey, thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
You got
thanks,
it. Ryan Talbot covering the Bills for New York Upstate. .com.
Yeah, and I think you can pencil in Ben DiNucci, as long as he doesn't fall flat on his face, for a practice squad spot.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And as far as the immediate future, you get half of Ben DiNucci on Saturday.
Why not? It wasn't going to be Peterman. As much as we wanted to will it,
this is pretty good, though. This is a good consolation prize for the sports bar. I mean, it's almost like they listen to the show. Gwelly must listen to the show.
Heard it right there. He's like, wait a second. Those guys are talking about Ben DiNucci being available. Let's call him.
Of course he's a new Buffalo Bill, Gino, because he's Italian.
Ben DiNucci.
Hey, Ben DiNucci, Pete Gwelly. Pete Gwelly, Ben DiNucci. Meet Matt Parrino. Matt Parrino, Ben DiNucci. Ben DiNucci, Pete Gwelly. Out back, we play botch. Good stuff from Ryan Talbot, as always. Love having him on with us. Tomorrow, his co-host on the Shout podcast, Matt Parrino, stops by 3:25, his usual Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, we'll also be talking to PJ Glasser, host to send it in tomorrow. Ooh. We're getting Lee Steinberg back on the show this week.
Come
excited
on.
About that, yeah.
Super agent Lee Steinberg.
Super agent who, because there's always a Rochester connection, dated a girl from Rochester.
Well, he's one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's been to Rochester.
So, Rochesterian and super agent Lee Steinberg joining us on Wednesday. Happy Hour is next in the sports bar. More on the signing of Ben DiNucci to the Bills roster here for the preseason. And, of course, plenty to get to from Saturday's disappointing outcome at Highmark. This is the Bills kick off their preseason loss to the Bears. One-sided loss to the Bears. A couple of bright spots that we'll touch on as well. You have your thoughts. We would love to hear them at 866-4326, 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.